Father, the Bible says there are some vessels unto honor, and that there are some vessels unto dishonor. And Father, we don't want to be a vessel unto dishonor. We want to be a vessel, Father, that is purified, that is holy, that is consecrated, that is dedicated to you. So, Father, we come this morning. We are gathering ourselves here in this forum, not because we have done it on a routine basis, but because you have called us together for this time and this place. And you have a particular word that you want to share with your people, your potential son. Father, it is a word that we have heard many times. It is a word that has been broadcasted through the years. Father, but that word has now come to a point that it must become reality within our individual souls, in our individual set of circumstances. So, Father, we're coming this morning to present our minds, our emotions, our desires to you. My God, present these tabernacles, these fleshly things that are so easily distracted and so easily subverted by the paraphernalia that is in the world, both spiritual as well as physical. Father, we want to hear the pure, unadulterated word of the Holy Spirit. We want to know the reality of that ministry, that impartation of Spirit. We want to know that position, that place of your desire, those things that you desire. My God, we would that they would be ours to desire. So we come this morning to consecrate our time, this time frame, this day, this Saturday day. Father, we want to consecrate it, dedicate it unto you. It is not a social event that we have come to join and to renew acquaintances, but it is a time we have come to gather together and to connect with one another in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and to flow in harmony with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. My God, that we might touch the hem of your garments during these days, during these meetings, that we might have that position, that place of relationship, fastened, secured, like a rope or like an anchor, that we might pull ourselves into you. Father, we pray. We want to pray for the infirmities of our flesh, both physical, mental, and spiritual. We want to come against every device that the devil would implement, the devil would work, the devil would move to bring, Father, to naught the grace that you have provided unto us in this hour. My God, my God, my God, the safe passage and travel of each and every soul here this morning, and the orchestration of, by which you have worked circumstances to be sure that those who are present are here. My God, we do not understand or know or realize the divine intervention in our lives in so many levels, and yet you, in your mercy, extend your hand and you make a way where there is no way. So, Father, we are so thankful that we have this time of fellowship. We are so thankful that we have this time of instruction. I pray that we might hear, that we might heed, and that we might move in one accord, not individually or separate under our own position of individual theology, but, Father, under the theology of the Father. My God, we pray for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, well, you need to say it like you really mean it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I would like to get the board moved over here if I could, please. Hallelujah. There are a couple of scriptures that come to my mind. This morning, I wasn't quite sure if I would be speaking or not. The one scripture the Lord brought to me was while in the prayer, and I want to find it. I did not bring my Bible because I'm trying to learn how to use this. It weighs less. Hallelujah. And I'm finding that when you're traveling abroad, weight is a significant factor, especially if you're carrying things that really are to be left there. So you have to load up and minimize what it is that you are putting in your suitcase for personal use. Hallelujah. So I don't have my real Bible. I just have this electronic one.
And I'm not really proficient at it. It's very difficult. My fingers seemingly don't seem to coordinate with the words and whatnot. There's a scripture that says, I think it's in one of the Corinthians, and it deals with the vessels. One of gold, one of silver, one of wood, hay, and stubble, I believe, are wood. Hallelujah. I want to look at that verse first. If somebody could find that, this is going to have to be a body ministry this morning. I'm still in transit. I'm somewhere between Uganda and Dubuque, Iowa. I'm here physically, but mentally, spiritually, I think I'm still traveling. Hallelujah. I want to say I am very much appreciative of your prayers. I know the prayers were going out, and I want to tell you I was very much aware of them as I was traveling. Let me just give you a little testimony to that. I do not sleep on an airplane. I don't know why, I just do not sleep on an airplane. I can get in a car, and if I'm tired and you're driving down the road, thank you very much. I forgot mine this morning. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, 1 Corinthians 2:12. All right. I'm sorry? I'm sorry again. Well, okay, 1 Corinthians, right? The reverberation in here is terrible. Okay, 1 Corinthians, what was the chapter?
3.
And the verse was? Verse 12. Oh, wow, that's significant. Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you a little testimony of my traveling. At first, after the tickets were all said and done, I thought we had made a mistake. I thought I had made a mistake because I wanted to come back on the 23rd, right? It would have been a Wednesday. I wanted to come back on a Wednesday so that I would have Thursday to rest and Friday we could come to the conference. But the first mistake I made on it was I was trying to use my phone. I was traveling someplace and I was trying to use my phone to make the reservation. This little bitty thing, right? Praise the Lord. With these big stubby fingers. And unfortunately, my return date was on the 21st. And that wasn't right because I didn't want to come back until the weekend. Praise the Lord. So I called my emergency fix-it department, which is my wife. Hallelujah. And she got on the phone with Ethiopia, and I think she was on the phone for an hour or more. Oh, 6 hours. She's tenacious. And I knew that she could get it done, and so they changed my ticket, and they did not charge me the price of a new ticket, which they wanted to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that was the first miracle. But in the transfer, I noticed when I was traveling that the return date now was on the same day that I wanted to rest. Hallelujah. It was on the 24th. So that meant when I left Uganda, which is 9 hours behind you all, hallelujah, I would be coming back on the same day as I was to arrive here. So I had to make a transfer from Ethiopia Airlines to Delta in Paris. Now, I don't know if any of you have been to Paris, but I don't like the airports in Paris. They're big and they're stretched out. And they have three terminals, one terminal 1, terminal 2, and terminal 3. And each terminal has different sections, A, B, C, D, and E. So, and it's all elongated. So, you know, you don't know where that plane is going to come in and where the other plane is going to be going out. But the other problem was I am transferring from one airline to another airline that is not scheduled in my ticket. My ticket is scheduled to go to France, Paris, and to come out of Paris at a different date. It's a go-to and come-back deal. Hallelujah. And in between that, I'm taking Ethiopian Air to fly to Uganda. Hallelujah. So that means my transfer has to be from when I come back on that same day. My transfer, I come in at 6:20 or 7 o'clock, depending on the mercy of God and the airlines. And I'm leaving out at 11 something from maybe a different terminal and maybe, of course, a different gate on a different airline. The good news is I was able to check in online, so I was at least that far along, and at least they knew I was, by faith, coming. Hallelujah. And so when we left Uganda, and there's so many things dependent when you're traveling in Africa. It can be sometimes easy, but sometimes it can be extremely hard. Hallelujah. My flight left Uganda at 12 noon. Well, that seems for us here in the States, that's not a bad time. You a couple hours, you just go to the airport. But I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, make sure all of my stuff was ready, and we had to leave for the airport between 7 and 8. Hallelujah. In order to get there in time, because of traffic and road conditions and all of those things that put it in there. But anyway, the Lord was really merciful, and we were able to make it there and to get in. And the flight, and like I was saying, Uganda transits through Ethiopia. It's Ethiopia Airlines, so Ethiopia, no matter where you are in Africa, always brings you back to Addis. Praise the Lord. And I had a very long layover in Addis, so it wasn't so critical as far as the time factor, as long as I made my plane, whenever it was. And then there's another thing. You never know if they're really going to take off on the time they stay. Hallelujah. So they can change it on you, and they usually do, depending on whatever it is that is what they are thinking about. And sometimes they can even cancel your flight. And they don't really notify you until you get to the airport, by the way. Hallelujah. But everything at this time went well. I got in, I got through security, I got through baggage check and all of those things that are there. And got on the plane, and it's a 5-hour trip. Now, I tell you, I don't ever sleep on a plane. I just don't sleep on a plane. It's a 5 or 6 hour trip. I'm not quite sure. I don't even remember taking off. It's 5 hours. But I think ours was 5.5. The pilot told us 5.5 hours we would be landing in Ethiopia. Maybe he was going to circle around a couple of times. I don't know. Hallelujah. But I slept. I don't remember taking off. And I woke up just before they announced that they were descending. So that was a blessing to me personally. Hallelujah. And I saw God intervene for me in so many different situations and circumstances. And when I finally got on my plane, hallelujah, out of Addis, going to France, hallelujah, it's a 7 to 8 hour journey. And I think I must have slept at least 4 of those hours on and off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it really gave me the strength and the vitality I needed to be able to circumvent through the situation. And I was really very much aware of the intercession and the prayers, and I knew that God was working for me. Now, when I landed in France, I still had to make the transfer, and I had about 3 hours. And that really sounds like a lot of time, but you have to go through immigration. Then you have to go find the baggage. I had to gather my bags because I'm on a different airline. I had to gather my bags, and then I had to make my way to the terminal where the plane was going to be taking off, and they would be loading and taking off. And I didn't know whether it was going to be in that terminal or another terminal, but it turned out to be in the same terminal. Praise the Lord. I was coming in on Terminal 2A and leaving out of Terminal 2E. Hallelujah. And the good news is you get through immigration. I hurried down to immigration, trying to make sure that I would probably be one of the first ones in line. Hallelujah. Or hopefully. And when I got there, it was empty except for the boxes where the border guards are stamping passports. So I immediately got up there, went through, and I'm still scratching my head and say, this is impossible. Because the line I went through when I came in and was going to Ethiopia, it took me almost an hour to get through immigration, just to get my passport stamped so I could go into departures and take off. Hallelujah. And so then went through, and I went down into baggage. It was very simple to get there. The signs were very good, which was really amazing to me in France. And I started to get a little nervous because the bags keep coming out and people keep pecking and mine hadn't yet showed up. And I'm thinking, well, what do I do if this bag doesn't show up? How am I going to get it transferred? And I was trying to work out the details in my mind how to get the thing transferred when all of a sudden out comes my bag. Hallelujah. I had to repent, by the way, because of my lack of confidence, my lack of faith concerning it. Grabbed my bag and I went out, and I went out the door baggage into the entry hall where the arrivals are. Went through another door, turned right, and there was a ramp that went right up to the departure section of Terminal 2. And it was about maybe a 15-minute, 20-minute walk from where I was to where the gate was. No problem, just smooth transition. Got there, got in, got checked, went through immigration again, went through baggage check again, and got on my plane. So things went very smooth, and I know that it was the Lord. It was your prayers, your intercession, and I am very, very thankful to you. I could just as well be still stuck in Paris trying to get here. And if I knew somebody in Paris, that might be fine, but I don't. Hallelujah. The brethren in Ethiopia, the brethren in Uganda, I keep getting them mixed up. The brethren in Uganda, they send their greetings to each and every one of you. And those of you who know them, Sister Concy, Sister Godfrey, Sister Jean, hallelujah. They especially said for me to tell you hello. Hallelujah. And I'm not quite sure who they all are, but if you're here, Brother Godfrey and Sister Concy and them say hello, God bless you. And they are very thankful that they have a fellowship with you. All right. Praise the Lord. I find this morning very interesting because it seems like the flow of the Spirit is basically something that I am very much aware of, and I've been participating in some of the ministry that I have been doing over the last several months, if not years, the last 2-3 years. Also, I find it very interesting that on Wednesday night, oh, by the way, that ticket change, that wasn't a mistake. It was intentional, because that gave me an extra day with the children that we have in the beneficiary. And that day was an excellent day. Hallelujah. And it's one of the first meetings I have been in that I have seen God's Spirit move in praise and worship and deliver the message. So I wasn't really responsible for bringing the message. It was the children. Each and every one of their songs brought some concept, some thought or purpose of God. And I had the day before been teaching them the numerical values of the scripture. I was been teaching them in the lesson that I was sharing with them. I was teaching them the numerical values, and they sang 8 songs. Hallelujah. And they did it. I didn't do it. And there wasn't an adult that was doing it. And the day before, they were kind of stiff and, you know, kind of slow and a little bit shy and embarrassed, you know, that I was there, I guess, watching them. I don't know. But anyway, but after the word, they seemed to be loosening up, and after the sharing. And, you know, they asked such good questions. And they weren't afraid. Well, at first they were kind of shy, but Brother Godfrey, he can be very convincing. And he convinced them to loosen up a little bit and begin to ask questions. And Sister Concy, she's very good at that also. They have a great deal of respect for Sister Concy. She is the one. Her categorization is social worker, but that is a secular term. I think she is more in the capacity of a spiritual mother to the children. Hallelujah. And the job that she's doing with regards to that is very good. They have a great deal of respect for her, and they listen to her. And they were encouraging them to ask questions. So they begin to open up and to ask questions about the tabernacle, about salvation, about the blood, about the different aspects of what it is the tabernacle deals with. And they had some very good questions. And I would be asking them questions. I wanted to understand what it was they heard, what it was they knew, and how well they were retaining it. So I began to ask them different things about the scriptures, and they begin, and you know, they had some very good answers. And they weren't just secular answers. They were spiritual in the concept of what it was that they were answering. So, you know, the benefit of what we are doing there is very obvious in the faces of the children and what it is that they are able to participate in and how they are able to share with you concerning that. And, you know, everything there is not like it is here. You have to teach them. You have to teach them how to take notes, which we were doing and while we were ministering. You have to give them, you have to stop sometimes and allow it to sink in and then make sure it's like a schoolroom deal and they're writing down things and copying notes and things of that nature. But they also, we are teaching them the Word of God. We are teaching them about the tabernacle. We're teaching them about the time frame we are in, the plans and purposes of God. And I want to tell you, I was very encouraged. Very, 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 very encouraged. Hallelujah. Concerning all of it. And so it was a very profitable trip. It was also very timely. And like I said, it wasn't the tickets that we had, the last final ticket wasn't a mistake. I needed that Wednesday night time frame. Because on Wednesday night, and that's what really started this little testimony. Wednesday night, as I was ministering of the criticalness of the hour that we were in and the events of that are happening and the things that will happen. And one of the words that the Lord spoke to me is, as a thief in the night, it shall come upon you suddenly and unaware. Something of that nature. The whole context of the word was that we are thinking and living a lifestyle that is not conducive to the position or the place of the tribulation that is coming. Hallelujah. Because we are somehow divided in our interests. Hallelujah. Now, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not going to tell you what you have to do. I'm telling you what you need to do. And what you are in need of doing is finding the reality of God concerning the time frame that we are living in. I can tell you what it is God says to me, what God is telling me to tell you. I can tell you that. But I cannot make you do it. And I would not want to make you do it because that would be in opposition to the principle and function of what the Word is concerning it. Hallelujah. God could have made Adam and Eve do what they needed to do, and we wouldn't have had all of the things that have happened between then and now. But all those things that happened between and now are based on the decisions that they made. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have a free will choice. It is not something that is designated or mandated that you have to do this, hallelujah, and that we will make you do that. But if you want to be what it is the scripture is talking about, because we have been sharing this message of sonship for how long? Hallelujah. At least 40 plus years that I am aware, almost 50 plus years in hearing it. Hallelujah. Not to mention working under the auspices of it. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect. You always talk higher than where you are. Because it's a motivation for you to get higher. Because when you're ministering the Word of God and it's way up here and you're way down here, you're thinking, why am I even talking about this thing? But that is the point, that is the place, and that is the offering that God is giving us, or the opportunity. He wants us to come where we are to where He is. And I don't mean in the expectations of just where He is physically, because I really can't tell you where that is. Hallelujah. But where it is in his perception, and where it is in the knowledge, in the foreknowledge that he has concerning what it was that he wanted in the beginning, in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, what did he say? I want to make man in a peculiar way. But man has to cooperate with me in order for man to come to that position. Hallelujah. Now he doesn't really come out and say that, right? He says it in a different way. I have given you dominion. Subdue and take over. Take charge. Take authority over that situation. You personally. Me personally. take charge of that situation. Hallelujah. And you know, the devil is a master of deception. The devil is a master at devising a situation or circumstance that seemingly is totally impossible for us to do. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, God is very much aware of that. And there's a little scripture in the Bible that says, nothing with God is impossible. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. Nothing with God is impossible. But we really don't believe that. That's God. That's the Elohim. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. That's a whole different ballgame, right? Hallelujah. He's not down here in the nitty-gritty. He doesn't have to deal with taxes. He doesn't have to deal with vehicles. He doesn't have to deal with housing. He doesn't have to deal with households. He doesn't have to deal with all these mechanics that are involved in you and I making a living and being able to live in that environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, my ministry in the beginning, well, I say my ministry, but that's kind of presumptuous. Because the ministry is really dependent upon him. If he doesn't say anything, I haven't got anything to say. And if I say something that I'm not supposed to say, it all usually ends up like falling into a trash can. Plunk. Hallelujah. He said to me in the beginning, he told me that if I am willing to do what he wants me to do, he will do what he needs to do in order for me to do that thing. Did that make sense? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have tried, and maybe not so well, maybe not so good, to order my lifestyle on the basis of that, on the basis of all that. But nevertheless, what I'm saying concerning all of this is that God has given us a particular thought. God has given us a particular word. And there is an expectation he has of us according to that word. Oh, I know what the thought was I was going to share with you. In the beginning, when I heard the Lord call my name, hallelujah. Of course, I had a family, I had work, I had to do this and I had to do that and all of this. And now he was coming and said, now you have to have this type of relationship with me, and you want you to be involved in these fellowships and blah, 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 blah. And for a long time it went on, for a year or two it went on like that. I was working and involved in fellowships, and I don't know what exactly to call it. I suppose you could call it ministry. Working in ministry, working ministry, work, work, ministry, work. It's all kind of work together, you understand. And I came to a point in all of that position and thinking, I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you this because some of us think that we have to either do this or we have to do that, but we can't do both. And I was in that position. I was in that place. I was struggling with it. I said, I can't do this anymore. Hallelujah. I either have to work, I will make money, and I will feed your operation. I will give it to the work of God, to those that are going out and have that position, have that place. And I was serious, quite serious about it. I wasn't one of these that was saying, give me more money and I'll give you one third and I'll take two thirds. I'll give you one tenth and I'll take 90% of that. Hallelujah. I was really serious about it. Hallelujah. You just put me in the ministry and that's all I want to deal with. That's all I want to have to deal with. I don't want to have to be vacillating back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever felt like that? I don't know. Hallelujah. And so I was praying and fasting, and I was looking to the Lord for some direction in my life. And there was this brother at the end, he's passed on, Brother C.L. Moore, right? Well, we were living in a house, a little trailer house, out in the middle of a desert, in the middle of an orchard. Hallelujah. I was working for my dad at the time, farming. He was into peaches and almonds, and I was kind of the superintendent of the thing, under his care. If you're a superintendent under the care of your father, like my father, it's really he that is in charge, not you. He just tells you what to do. Hallelujah. It was a good training for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I think it's kind of a relationship that I'm supposed to have with God the Father. Isn't that right? Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself. Didn't he say that? Huh? So, what did he do? How did he do? What did he do? Huh? He did what the Father, he saw the Father doing. So that means there was a visualization of the Father concerning Jesus Christ when he was walking as a human being. Well, now you're going to tell me, well, that was Jesus Christ. He was different than us. No, he's not. Hallelujah. He's not different from you or I whatsoever. If you've been born again, you've been born by the reason of a heavenly seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why they call it being born again. Have you ever wondered why they call it being born again? You use the terminology. You must be born again. What are you telling somebody? You have to be segregated from what your natural birth is into a position or a place and believe in a reality of a spiritual birth that takes precedence over your natural birth. We don't believe that. We think it's an addendum. We think it's something that's added to our position of experience. We think it's something that's added to our position of relationship with God. We can be human and we can be born again. How many of you celebrate your birthdays? Don't raise your hands. I don't want you embarrassed. Hallelujah. Why do you celebrate your birthday? Why do you do it? No, you don't have to change. You go ahead and celebrate your birthday. But I want to tell you a spiritual principle. Huh? When I was born in the natural, I was born of an earthly parent. I was born of an earthly mom. I was born of an earthly dad. That dad and mom have spiritual inheritance that have come down by via spirits. Hello? Anger, malice, fornication, murder, hatred. Hello? Come on, brethren. You have a holy tree. Well, my tree was not holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was diversified in wickedness. And when I was born, I inherited all of that. I got all of that from my lineage, and those lineages that have come down to me. Hello? Hallelujah. So if you took a pile of garbage, that has been being piled up for generations and generations and generations and generations, and finally here I come and that pile is dumped right on top of me. I inherit all of that. Hallelujah. And every time I want to celebrate my birthday, not your birthday, my birthday, I have that idea, I am recognizing that position of existence. Now this is one of our maladies, not you celebrating your birthday. This is one of our maladies. We don't understand the spiritual principles that are involved. We can look at a tree and say, oh, that tree is a representation of righteousness. That tree is a representation of men walking. Huh? Okay, if the tree is a representation that has a spiritual connotation, what does my birthday have to have? Nothing? It's of a little consequence? No, I'm talking about my birthday. You can go ahead and celebrate your birthday if you want to. I'm not going to think ill of you. I might be sad, hello, because I know what is happening in the spirit. I was in Africa one day, and I was in a Holy Ghost, a holy place church. They had the message of sonship, and they decided that they were going to celebrate the birthday of one of these children that was the birth of one of these children, the natural birth of one of these children. They had just come, little bitty baby, cute little thing. Hallelujah. So they all gathered together, they lined them up, all the relatives have come, the grandmas, the aunties, the uncles, the parents, hallelujah, the great-grandma, the great-grandfather, some of them were there, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And they begin to play their African music, you know, their drums, and sing this Christian song about whatever it was, but it was in their language, somebody was translating for it, it had all the Christian words in it. Hallelujah. But they weren't celebrating this child as a child of the kingdom. They were celebrating the act that this child, hallelujah, had been born of these natural parents, which was in some way or another, maybe not seem so important, but it is. It really is. There's a little scripture in the Bible. To whom you submit yourself, servants, to obey. Hello? How many of your birthdays are eternal? Your natural birthdays? Eternal. How many of your natural birthdays are eternal? It's going to go on even after you're dead. Do you know what they do in Africa? Huh? If you're a the patriarch or the father, and they build a little shrine there. And every day, every time that birthday rolls around, they come and they offer what? Offerings to you. Offerings to you. Offerings to you. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. It has a spiritual reality. It's familiar spirits. And they're really not celebrating the birthday of the man because he's dead. He's gone. He's no longer existing. What are they celebrating? The spiritual aspect of the inheritance that was passed down to him by virtue of his natural birth. Hallelujah. And this is something very simple, but it's something that we are very much involved in. What happens when somebody doesn't recognize your birthday? What happens? Well, some of you may overcome. Some of you may go right on and say, well, that's nothing, but I kind of have a hard time believing it. What if they forget your birthday? What happens in your mind? You may not outwardly express it. You may not outwardly think about it. Hallelujah. And I can talk about this because me and my wife, I hope we are in agreement. We have talked about it many times, and she seems to be lining up with me in my thinking, so praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happens when somebody doesn't remember your birthday? Huh? I'm sorry?
It brings an offense.
It brings an offense. Absolutely. Mentally, emotionally. How is that possible? Why? Because you have failed to recognize the importance of that person's natural birth. Hallelujah. Now, don't... I'm not telling you not to celebrate your birthday. I'm telling you to go to God and ask Him about it. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. So they're lining up all these people, and they begin to play their music and praising the Lord for the birth of the child. And I'm not opposed to praising the birth of a new life. I am not opposed to it. But if the reference or the focus is on the natural birth date, there is a problem. And these parents were instructed by some of the leaders in the congregation as they were singing and praying to go and lay hands on that child. And the Bible says that we are not to lay hands on any child, anyone, suddenly. Why? Because there is a transfer of spirits. We were in a meeting one time down in Florida, and I saw a person get up to pray for a person who was afflicted by some disease. And as they laid hands upon that person, I saw the spirit of that infirmity jump from the woman onto the man. Hallelujah. And we had to take the person out of the meeting later on and pray for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't tell me there's not a transfer of spirits. And when they laid hands on that child, I saw all these dark spirits begin to come in. I saw them coming in. I saw them coming in. Hallelujah. I saw them coming in, and they were setting up their position or their right of authority over that child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we are named after our parents. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're named after our aunties or our uncles. Sometimes we're named after our grandfathers or grandparents. What is happening? If God hasn't given you that name, if you didn't go to God and ask Him, what do I call this child? Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are spiritual people. We are spiritual people. Thank you. We are spiritual people. Or at least we are supposed to be spiritual people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the birthing and the naming of a child is a prophetic utterance. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every time you call that child's name, you're prophesying the intent and the reality. You know, even the heathen have the knowledge. You ever get a book of names and what they mean? Huh? Now, if you name a child after a parent, but the Lord told you to name that child that, it's okay. Because it means that in God's divine intervention, He's going to do something with regards to that child. Hallelujah. Names are prophetic. Names are names. I love the African names. My goodness. There's a sister we have known there's a sister we know, and this is just one of the examples that I remember. A sister we know in Ethiopia, her name, we call her Sister Tahai. And it means sister to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So every time I speak to that sister and I call her name, hallelujah, what am I doing? I'm prophesying over here. The glory of God shall reside upon you. Hallelujah. There was a situation that we had in Africa many years ago where a couple who got married under the auspices of this word decided not to have the traditional marriage. Hello? Hallelujah. And it was a big thing in those days, because when you did not do that, the people who were involved with the parents in the community that were involved with those individuals would send spirits after them, because to punish them and to whip them, so to speak, because they were disobeying the spiritual intent and the law that was of the tribe. Hello? Hallelujah. But they decided they weren't going to have the traditional marriage, but they did not have the strength to say no to the bride price. There's a bride price, by the way, you know. Now, we don't so much do that here, but in actuality, there are other things we do that is somewhat the same. Hallelujah. And sometimes that has to deal with the extravagance of the wedding. Hallelujah. I won't go into that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anyway, they could not pay the bride price. Now, in the country that I was in, that we ran into this, and I don't know if Mark remembers it very well, but he was there with us. This woman had a difficulty in her pregnancy. And we ministered to her one night. She came to us. We did not get any release. We did not get any release over the situation. So him and I, Mark, hallelujah, we prayed and we fasted for that night. I don't know if you remember that. It was in Uyo. Hallelujah. But there was more involved in it, and I'm not going to go in there, because there was some confrontation with the elders in the position of struggle for power. And God was wanting to deal with two things. He wanted to deal with the situation with the married couple, but He also wanted to deal with the situation in the fellowship with the elders. Hallelujah. Because the thing in the fellowship with the elders was standing in the way of the healing of the woman. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, you know, I have confidence in Brother Mark in his medical history, hallelujah, and his experience in that arena. And at that time, when we were talking to the lady and talking about the situation and circumstances, he diagnosed the lady as a tubal pregnancy. I don't know if you remember that. Yes, you did. Hallelujah. And you know the results of that, right? What is the results, Brother? Yes, to the woman as well as the child. Hallelujah. Well, the problem was that the couple was not able to pay the bride price. Hello? Hallelujah. And now this is very serious, you understand? Hallelujah. Because there's no job, there's no work, there's no thing. And they agree to pay it, but they can't pay it. So the father, being the type he was, and in the place that he was, and the ignorance that he was, he determined that he would take what he could get as the bride price. So he sent a spirit, hallelujah, to collect the blessing. The child is the blessing, the evidential blessing of the marriage. You understand that? Hallelujah. Maybe we don't have that concept here in our Western culture, but in the African culture, the child is the example or the evidence of the blessing of the marriage. So he was not only going to take the child's life, but he was willing to take the daughter's life in order to get retributed for what it was that he was not receiving from them. Now, we would never do that, but you don't know what you might do, given the circumstances and the situation. And, you know, you don't have to build a little fire and pour oblations into it or offer some sort of sacrifices. You just have to have some sort of thought or thinking. Huh? The devil works off of your thoughts, if you didn't know that. Hallelujah. If you say you hate somebody, I don't like you. Hallelujah. You don't have to say, I hate you. I don't like you. The Bible says that we release a spirit of murder. Hello? Jesus said, my words, they are what? Spirit and they are life. What if I use those words detrimentally? What if I use those words in an adverse manner? What if I use those words in a manner of fast that is contrary to righteousness? Hello? Where do words come from? You don't have to think it. I mean, you don't have to say it. You just have to think it. And the devil hears it. Do you hear me? The devil hears it. Hello? Hallelujah. And he takes it and he runs with it. And situations and circumstances start developing with regards to the person that you had those ill thoughts about. And they find themselves in tribulation. They find themselves in tribulation and trouble. Hello? Why? Because I have given strength to a spirit to minister to their situation. Hallelujah. I have a way of looking at things negatively. I know nobody else has that problem, but I do. I have something happens, I'm always I'm less than optimistic about it. Hallelujah. And I'll say something, well, what do you expect? What did I just do? What did I do? Huh? I have loosed a spirit of depression, oppression against that individual. My thought is, what do you expect? What is my thought behind that? Well, what do you expect? Well, this person, he's not an achiever. He's lazy. He's this, he's that, blah, 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 blah. And all of these thoughts that are behind the thought of what I thought or what I speak, they're behind it. And the devil doesn't just hear what I said. He hears what I am thinking. Huh? Hallelujah. We live in a spiritual environment, but we don't believe it. Hallelujah. You have a spiritual authority, but you don't believe it. Hallelujah. You are not just normal humankind. You are God kind. When God made Adam, he made him different and peculiar than any other creature that he made. He formed him of the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. As all the other creatures. Hello? Hallelujah. The elements of the world that was in existence at that time. He formed all those creatures of the same elements. Hello? But he did something very peculiar to Adam. He did something very peculiar and absolutely different. And he did not do it to any other thing that he created. He breathed into his nostrils. And when he breathes, it's not natural breath. God don't breathe. The Elohim don't breathe. He doesn't need air. Hallelujah. He doesn't need air. Hallelujah. The essence of his being. The essence of Elohim. Do you understand the concept? Elohim is the plurality of God. When you call Elohim, you're invoking the power of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I don't like the word just God. I'm trying to break myself of the habit of saying it. Because there's lots of gods out here. Hallelujah. And I want to be sure that hell knows what I'm talking about when I say Elohim. I want to be sure that the devils know when I say Jehovah Jireh. You know God has specific names for specific things. He has a name for healing. He has a name for precision. He has a name for overcoming. He has a name for conquering. He has a name. Jehovah this, Jehovah this, Jehovah this, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shaddai. Why should I use God when I have a name that implies the position of absolute supreme authority? And you know, and I want to be sure the devils know what's in my heart. Do you understand me? When I say God, I want to be sure God the Father. And when I say the Father, hallelujah. When Jesus was talking to his disciples how to pray, what did he say? Our Father. Which art in heaven? Where is heaven? Heaven is inside of you. Or at least it should be. If it's not, you better start working on it really quick. You better start doing something to ensure that heaven is inside of you. And it's concreted in there. And it's immovable. Because there's a shaking coming, brethren.
Amen.
Oh, we heard it before. Oh, yes. Heard it before. 2008. It came. It went. Hallelujah. Did I ever get into Corinthians? Oh, my. Which one did I go to? I wanted to go to 1 Corinthians. What was it? Do you remember?
3:12.
12. Yes. Okay. Because this is what I'm talking about. I better read the scripture so we have reference to it. You know, what am I... there's a question I want to ask you this morning. Hallelujah. That someone who was very close to me, I heard them giving a testimony one day, and it touched my heart. Because when I heard it, I was beginning to think and apply it to my own set of circumstances. They were down, it had something to do with their children, and in a time frame or in a place that they were in at that time. And when they were there, she was evidently praying or thinking about God or something, but God came to her and said, "Who are you raising your children unto? Are you raising them unto me? Are you raising them unto yourself?" Huh? And I transpose that. Who am I living for? Who am I living for? Am I living unto myself and unto Asbil? Or am I living unto God the Father? Hallelujah. In order that I might know the name for which I am to be called in that final hour. Do you know there's a name written that only God, the Father, and the Elohim knows? Do you know there's a name that is hidden? Hallelujah. What is that? Is a predestinated position. Do you understand me? I heard lots of theology on predestination. Hallelujah. But predestination starts when you are born again. Hallelujah. It is not that you are born in the natural and predestinated to be a son or predestinated to be a demon. Hallelujah. When you are born again, there is a place, a position. Father has your name written. Name is nature. So everything is supposed to happen from that day, from that position, that place of being born again, is orchestrated by the Father to bring and indelibly write that name upon your soul. Another thing, I'm not going to know that name until I reach a certain point, a certain place. That's in Revelation, by the way. It was one of the words that was spoken to one of the churches. It says, "He that overcometh, will I declare his name that only the Father knows." I don't know what that name is, but I'm working toward it. I want to know the reality of that name. Because when I reach that point, I would have reached the point of crossing over into the perfection. And I might even hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. One thing I know, the name implies good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to verse 12. Because this is basically what I am saying this morning. Now if any man build, hallelujah. No, let's go back up. I want to go back up to verse 10. Hallelujah. according to the grace of God which is given unto me. If there is grace given unto to Paul for a particular reason and for a particular purpose, and that purpose and that reason is going to now be verbalized, hello, that means that plan, that purpose, that thought in that concept of what he is sharing is something that is relevant to me and relevant to you as an individual. Hallelujah. 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 According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise as a wise master builder. Do you know the difference between a builder and a master builder? A builder just do it to get it done. When I was a construction in contracting, and I don't know how it is, I suppose it's somewhat still the same. You got paid by the piece. If you wanted to make money, you got paid by the piece. That means if somebody had a house that he wanted you to frame, he would pay you so much money per square foot of that house. Now back then it was like a dollar a square foot. That's not that anymore, I don't think. I imagine it's very much more than that now. Hallelujah. But I bet you get the same quality. And the thing was, if you wanted to make money, you had to get it done fast. Hallelujah. That's why we call contractors like that firemen. They start a fire here, get it going, blazing away, and then they jump over here to one that seems a little more lucrative. And they start it, and they do it, and do it, and this fire over here is yelling, help, 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 help! Put my fire out! So you're jumping back and forth, but the problem is, you got four or five fires going. Hallelujah. Because in contracting, it either rains or it's dry. Or at least that wasn't my experience when I was there. Hallelujah. So when it rains, you want to get all the rain you can possibly get. Well, I wasn't like that, fortunately. Praise the Lord. When I got a job, I concentrated on that job. That was the one paramount thing of importance. That job, nothing else, was to divert my attention from it. Hello? And I wanted to be sure that everything was in its proper place, in its proper way. Because when it was all said and done, I wanted to walk away from that house. Now, you can call it pride, I suppose. I don't know. I wanted to walk away from the house and say, I built that. And I'm not meaning that in a proper way. I'm just owning up to the fact that that is my workmanship. Hello? Hallelujah. And I'm not afraid to put my name upon it. You can call me if something is wrong. Hallelujah. Well, you didn't make much money, but you were sure happy about what you did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I enjoyed carpentry tremendously. It was a very blessing to me because everything about it spoke to me about God. Hallelujah. Everything. Everything about it. Hallelujah. And that brings me back to the fact of what I was saying earlier about this situation of lifestyle. I'm involved in the ministry. I'm involved in the fellowship. I'm involved with the fellowship of this word. Hello? I'm vacillating back and forth for over 2 years, praying, asking God, deliver me from one or the other. I can't do both of them. Hello? Hallelujah. We're living out in a little orchard out there in the middle of nowhere. In the Central Valley of California. And God sends me a prophet. I don't know how Brother Moore found me. I just know that one day he wound up and he was knocking on my door. Him and his wife were knocking on my door. And he told me who he was and what he had come. And I had a sense of peace about it. And I invited him in. Invited him to stay for the weekend and fellowship with us and to have a time. Now, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know the man was a prophet. Come on. Amen. I looked him up on the internet after he left. But I should have known by the word that he shared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Sunday morning comes around and we are all gathering for fellowship, and he's ministering to us and out of the Word and whatnot, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden he gets up and he starts prophesying. There was probably 10 or 12 of us in the room. He prophesied to this one, he prophesied to this one, he's going around the circle. We were sitting in a big circle. He was there on one side of it, prophesying, 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 prophesying. He gets to me and he turns around and goes to sit down. And I wonder what you do. Huh? What's going on here? I fed him. I vetted him. I gave him the opportunity. And he's not going to prophesy to me. Of course, you probably would have been more benevolent. But you don't know my condition. I have been seeking the Lord for 2 years almost. Year and a half, 2 years. As to this predicament I was in. I want to deliver that. Hallelujah. And he began to walk over there, and you could have picked my jaw up off the floor, I'm sure. Hallelujah. And he almost got to his seat. He spun around. His back was to him. He spun around, and he walked to the step and pointed his finger right between my eyes. He said, "You shall do both." You know, that changed my whole concept of Christianity. I had this idea that you had to be a minister, you had to be a minister. Now, come on, brethren. Don't tell me you haven't thought like that. I was a young man in my late 20s, something like that. I don't know. Early 30s. And I had no concept of the word. I was still denominational in my thinking. Hallelujah. God was telling me, one complements the other. And you cannot do the one without having the other. Hello! So I'm not telling you to drop what you are doing. I'm telling you to find the will of God in what you're doing. And if God chooses to change it, then change. But you cannot neglect your position. That meant I had to get up earlier and pray and read the Bible. I had to spend more time at night in the Bible. I had to just spend the day thinking about God. And I'm so glad for the position. I was farming and I was working in construction. Both complement the business of God and everything that was happening to me in the farming. Everything that was happening to me from that point on. Do you understand? Before it was just a nuisance. But from that point on, I begin to see the revelation of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of the 2x4 right between the eyes? The mule? Have you ever heard about it? Well, just consider me the mule. Hallelujah. I'm on a job one day, and I'm working. And I don't know the circumstances, but I was somewhat irritated, somewhat vexed in my spirit somehow, some way. I don't remember, but I do remember what happened. I'm running through this. I'm running through the house. It's in the framing stage, right? We've got all these woods coming up. When we plumb and lined it, you put the wood down to hold the wall in a particular place. Sometimes you strap across the door or something like that. And I'm running through the house, right? I'm running through the house. I'm running through the house to get to the other side for some reason. There was something important. And I have my baseball cap on like this. Hallelujah. I did not see that 2x4. And it catches me right here. Hallelujah. And I'm running, right? Bam! I'm laying there on the floor. Hallelujah. Trying to collect my thoughts and all of my sons. He says, "Now will you listen?" I closed up shop that day and went home. to study and to get in the Word and to pray. Hallelujah. We have to be cognizant of the presence of the Father. We have to be cognizant of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to be cognizant of the plan and the purpose for which we were born again. We were born again not just to get into heaven. We were born again that heaven might get into us. And that habit might invade every aspect of our soulish environment and begin to emanate out into the environment in which we are in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Says, I have a master builder. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds upon that foundation. We have a particular, peculiar foundation. Brother Duseal was very adamant. Brother Duseal was very stressing over and over and over and over and over again a foundation that is cemented and rooted in the principles and in the doctrines of Christ. Yes. Christ is the objective. Christ is the object of our attention. Christ has to be the object of our affection, not our environment. Yes. Not our children, not our wives, not our husband. It has to be Christ. Christ-centered. Christ incorporates these other relationships and brings them into perspective and into harmony with His will and with His way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not, and brethren, you are going to be judged not according to the how, what you build. You're going to be judged according to the foundation. And if you put the wrong thing upon the right foundation, it is just as wrong as having no foundation. Hallelujah. It is as a man would build his house upon the sand. You know, some of the remodels that I was in, I got, hallelujah, I don't know why we would call it a remodel, because we just come in and pull down the whole house, hallelujah, and all we leave is the foundation, and then we start building again on that foundation, but what we build has to be plumb and lined. Huh? Didn't that say that in Isaiah? Huh? Maybe we should read it. What is it? Find it. It'd take me too long to find it on this tablet. And it could just quit on me suddenly. Hallelujah. Yes, I think so. Is it line upon line? Isaiah 28:10. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Oh, or am I being too tough on you? Well, I don't know that I'm being too tough on you, and I don't know what opportunity I might get in the future to be have this opportunity, so I need to give you what it is God is telling me. And He's not only telling you, He's telling me. Believe you me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot that I have to live up to in what I say. A lot that I have to do. A lot that I have to repent. A lot of that needs to be fixed. But by God's grace, I will fix it. Hallelujah. I want to go up to verse 9. For whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? To them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That means they have to grow beyond that first development of character and experience. Hallelujah. We must move out of the evangelical realm. We must move out of the realm of the Pentecostal. We must move out of the realm of the Holy Place Church into the Holy of Holies relationship. Hello? That is what God is telling us this hour. It's time to those who have been called and elected to begin to push toward that position of being the man-child. Hallelujah. 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 For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Line a little here and a little there. Hallelujah. You know, I had a good friend when I was building. He was an older man. Hallelujah. And he was a block mason. And my dad had several of these block, had this man come and put up a building on the farm that we were living on, a warehouse for the, not a warehouse, but a garage, a big building garage for the farm equipment that he wanted to put in there. And he was a block mason. And I went out there one day and I was really quite taken with his precision. You know, they get out there with a square, hallelujah, a little, what do they call it now? Transit. They get out there with a transit. Now, it wasn't these digital things that we now have. It was the type that you had to adjust the legs of it. It wasn't self-adjusting, self-leveling. Had to adjust the legs of it. You had to make sure that the instrument was on there right. If you tighten one, two more tighten in the other, it would throw the thing off, and that surveying or that those readings would be off a certain amount. This guy wanted this building absolutely square. Hallelujah. So he set this transit up. Hallelujah. And this building was, it was 80 feet. Maybe, I don't think it was 100 feet, but it was 80 feet long. And it was about 30 feet wide. Hallelujah. And all he's got there now is this piece of ground. Sets that transit up, the guy comes out with a stick, and he tells the guy to go over here, and he makes a mark, and then he tells the guy to go down over a catty corner away from that mark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's doing it all by this transit. And he makes a mark there, and then they make the other two corners. Hallelujah. And you could get a tape measure if you had one that would reach that far and measure it, and it would not be off an eighth of an inch. It was exact. Hallelujah. They don't make builders like that anymore. Takes too much time. Hallelujah. But this man wanted to do the job and do it right. He was a good master builder. He wasn't just a block mason. Hello? And I watched him build that building. And he didn't throw the chances out after that. He would make that cornerstone. He made that cornerstone, one corner right there, rotted up about four or five blocks. And it was stepped down, and he'd use his level on it, and he'd get his transit out, and he would take a measurements on it. Come on, brethren. He wanted that building to be exact, so that when he got down there at the other end, oh my goodness. And then he did something that I did not really see much builders doing. He went down to the other corner. And he set it as a cornerstone, but working off this other cornerstone, he set it as it had it erected. And you know that thing was so absolutely straight. Hallelujah. Wasn't off a bit. When it talks about setting things line upon line, you do it step by step. You do it in order, in the manner and fashion as instructed by you in the aspect of what it is you are building. It says that Jesus Christ is the master builder. Isn't that what the Bible says? Did they call him a master builder? You should look it up. It means he's the best, better builder than any builder that has ever came along. He's the builder of builders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's laying, he says, I'm laying it line upon line, precept upon precept. What are the spiritual principles of what it is that you are building? Are you involved in your work so much that you have missed, are involved in a relationship so much that you have missed the concept of precept upon precept, line upon line? Hallelujah. I don't know what your situations are, but I know that there is a position or a place that no matter how right it is or how wrong it is, there is an opportunity that God is giving us to fix it. Hallelujah. 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 I want to go back over to, that wasn't quite the verse, but it's a good one that I wanted, but.
16 and 17.
Huh?
16 and
17
in the same
chapter. 15 and 16. 16 and 17. All right. Oh, that's a good one. He says, well, he says, therefore, let's go back up 14. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come nigh unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. Hallelujah. We are living under the spirit of deception. We are living under the spirit. We think that this realm is the epitome of reality. When this realm is nothing more than a shadow of the reality of heaven. Hallelujah. How many times does the Bible use a natural illustration? A man went out to sow. What did he sow? He sowed seeds of wheat. Hallelujah. And in the course of the event, a servant comes to him. Master, did you not sow fine seed, pure seed? He said, why is it then that these tares are now coming up in the midst of the field? Shall we go out and pull them up? Hello? He said, no. Least you damage the good wheat. Let us wait till the time of harvest, and then we shall separate them. Mother, brother, I'm telling you, if I wait till the time of harvest, I could very well be collected with the tares. If my thoughts and my purposes are not in line, and my actions are a demonstration of the reality of that position of calling and election. Amen. I am not called to be a son of Asdrub. I'm called to be a son of the Father, Jehovah. He overshadowed me. Do you hear me? He overshadowed me. He overshadowed me in my position of death and degradation and torment. He overshadowed me, and he birthed within me a seed of life. Hallelujah. This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the darkness could not apprehend it, could not stop it, could not alter it, could not hold it, could not keep it from doing the job that it was supposed to do. And I became born again. Do you remember the aspects of your birth, born again experience? I was born again when I was 8 years old. That's appropriate. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And of all places, I was in a Baptist Royal Ambassador camp up in the San Andreas Mountains there. Not San Andreas Mountains. Sierra Madres. Up there in the Sierra Madres. Isn't that what it was above Sonora and up in there? Sierra Madres. Hallelujah. That big mountain range. Hallelujah. Man was preaching on hell and damnation, and man must he have been anointed. And I don't know if it was so much the preaching or the fire that was behind him. This is out in the woods, you understand. Hallelujah. And every time he would talk about hell and burning and fire and eternal damnation, that fire behind him would crack and pop, and those sparks would go flying up. Hallelujah. And the only thing I wanted was to make sure that I didn't wind up in that fire. Hallelujah. You know, God will use whatever he can to get you born again. Hallelujah. I don't even remember the sermon the man was singing, preaching, except it was death and hell. Eternal damnation. That was enough for me in that fire. Hallelujah. I could hardly wait till the man got through so I could go up to the altar. Hello. And when I went up to the altar, I was born again. And you know, they didn't tell me to go to your church and get baptized. They took me immediately out to the little creek. Hallelujah. That was running through the camp that we were in, and they baptized me into the Father, into the Son, and into the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah. New beginnings. New beginnings. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's important for me to go back and renew my knowledge, renew my experience. I can remember that day. Now I can't tell you the date, but I remember the day. Hallelujah. And I remember the time or the age that I was at when I was born again. Hallelujah. At that time there was a plan, there was a purpose. I was preordained by God to walk a certain path. Now, does that mean I'm going to walk it? Absolutely not. I have a free will choice. And at the age of 12 or 13, I decided I do not need God in my life anymore. And I went back out in the world. Whoosh! And I slid down, as it were, back into the depths of hell and damnation. I didn't lose my salvation, because the whole time I'm there, God is there with me. He says, though thou makest thy bed in hell. What is it? I am with thee. Hallelujah. I'd walk into a place that I was not supposed to be and sit down in a chair, and I would be looking over my shoulder because somebody was there. And I couldn't understand, why am I feeling so guilty? Why am I feeling so bad? Hallelujah. But one day, finally, God turned me around again. I renewed my position of sanctification and consecration, and I have been walking with Him ever since. Not that I'm not walking in the right manner at times, not that I'm not having to deal with my deficiencies of my flesh, but I am determined to walk with Him. Hallelujah. He has a predestinated course. Hallelujah! Little testimony I've shared here and probably other places, but I'm going to share it again because it's coming to my mind. I was praying and asking God, what must I do to be saved and to inherit the kingdom of God? Now this is after I'm saved. Now I'm not talking about that initial experience. I'm talking about the finality of it, the position, the place of the ultimate goal that God has for me as a person. I want to know what the relevance of that new name is. Do you understand me? I was saying, what must I do? Hallelujah. I had a dream or a vision. I don't remember which. And in that dream, I saw this wall. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen the Great Wall of China? The pictures of it up close. How tall it is. And how it just stretches beyond your scope of understanding. Have you ever... How did they build that thing? Hallelujah. I have a screensaver on my computer that has an aerial view of that wall. An actual picture. How it goes up and down and around and twist and turn and up and down and twist and turn. And it goes on and on and on and on. That was like this wall that was in front of me. And every time I look at that, I think of this dream. I think of this experience. I think of that actual wall. And then this spirit, this dream comes to me. There was this huge wall. And I could, far as I could see that way, and far as I could see that way, that wall went. And I looked up, and as far as I could see up, that wall went up. Hallelujah. But right in the middle of the wall, down low, there was a little golden gate. A little golden door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It had a gold lintel, gold side post on it, and the door was set into the flesh with those lintel and those side posts, and there was no visible knob on it. Hallelujah. And as I'm looking at the wall, I'm pondering, how do you open the door? How do you open the door? How do I get from here inside? And about the time I asked that question, the gate went click, and it opens a crack. But it's enough crack for me to grab hold of it. And And I am aware of what God is saying to me. He said, by invitation only. Do you ever get one of those RSVPs in the mail for a party or event and it says, by invitation only? That means you have to bring that little invitation to present it to a man at the wall. Hallelujah. Well, your born-again experience is by invitation only. God invites you by that experience to participate with Him and the totality of His plan to the fullest extent. Hello? So I pull that door open. Hallelujah. And I have to get down on my hands and my knees and I have to bend to look on into that door. Hallelujah. And I'm looking in through that door and all I see is a desert wasteland. I said, wait a minute, this isn't heaven. That looks more like hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness. It reminds me of another dream. I'm going to tell you that one too. Me and Brother Duciel, we were going someplace. We were going to a meeting to minister, he was, and I was tagging along. And we come to this big high-rise building. And the only way to go up in this building was to go through this go into this elevator. And the elevator was the main door. Hallelujah. You just walked in. When you walked in, there was no buttons on there or nothing. And I'm wondering, and the door closed. And I said to Brother Duciel, I said, uh-oh. Hallelujah. And then that thing takes off like a bullet. Hallelujah. And it goes up and up and up and up and up and up. And then it starts to descend slowly, 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 slowly. And in the midst of it, there's a bumping and a rattling and there's fear and worry and consternation because there's no buttons, there's no way to open the door. We couldn't get out of this thing. And all of a sudden, we're taking off like a rocket and you're thinking sudden destruction. Hello. Hallelujah. And it's coming down slowly. And I turned to Brother Duciel and I wiped the sweat off my brow and I said, wow, that was some trip. He said, yes, we just went through hell. I said, what do you mean we just? He says, you must go through hell before you can get to heaven. This other dream I'm talking to you about, this desert scene, hallelujah. It wasn't only desert, but it was a graveyard in a sense, because there were remains, skeletal remains, and some of different individuals I could see on the landscape, and it was not flat; it was rolling and turning, hallelujah. But in that, I saw these footprints. I saw these footprints. And I knew intuitively that I had to walk exactly in those footprints. They were barefoot. I could not have my shoes on. They were barefoot. I had to be barefoot. They were barefoot through the toes with five toes. Hallelujah. And it was a footprint of a man striding in a regular walk. Do you understand? Hallelujah. And I was supposed to put my foot in the exact footprint in the exact manner, and not one little grain of sand could be disturbed that was around the print. And I'm looking at those prints, and I'm looking at my bare feet, and my foot is bigger than the print. Hallelujah. And I said to God, this is impossible. What do you think God said to me? Being made conformable. The word is conformable. Look it up. Being made conformable what? To His death. Hallelujah. Change in the right manner, in the right way, will always cause you pain and suffering. But it's not the pain and the suffering that we want to concentrate on or look at. Hallelujah. We have to have a vision of the goal. We have to have a vision of the end of it. We have to have a vision of what is up there in front of us. Hello? Hallelujah. And brethren, we can choose wood, hay, or stubble. Hallelujah. We can try a gold crown. We can try a silver crown. We can try a wood crown. Or we can have no crown. It's your decision, your choice. But you have to understand the position of the reality of the calling and the election and the word that is upon you and where it is that God brought His blood to bring you to the place of being born again. You weren't born again to get into heaven. Don't you understand? We think we are going to heaven. Heaven wants to get inside of you. God wants you to demonstrate the reality of heaven. You know how the environment is going to receive heaven? By seeing you. Brother Dushil brought us a particular word. And that word was from God. I have not only witnessed it here in the United States for the last 30 years, but I have witnessed it globally with him when I was traveling, and I have seen the results of it with my own eyes. And I have also seen how the devil is working to destroy it in Africa, in Europe, and in the United States. And I think one of the reasons why God has kept me alive, in spite of my foolishness, is that I am a witness. I'm a witness to those events. I'm a witness to Brother Dushil. I'm a witness to the events of men who have received this word and took it and utilized it in a manner that was unholy. Hallelujah. And I've seen the results of those men at the end of the day. As successful as they are, they came to a place of being nothing and receiving absolutely nothing for it, for their labor. I'm a witness. Hallelujah. I'm a witness to those events. And I'm not saying that presumptuously. I believe that I have been kept alive for the purpose of being that testimony to that witness. Hallelujah. The Dushils were not perfect people, but they had a perfect message. Love! Hallelujah. And it is that message that has sustained me over the years and even now is working in my behalf. And I'm seeing that what He has given me, and as I am giving it to others. Hallelujah. I see the development of the kingdom of God and the expansion of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't necessarily go because I want to go. I go because I have to go. There is something of an impetus in me that pushes me, pushes me, pushes me, pushes me. And I believe that impetus is the burden that is on the Father's heart concerning this word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this word is being denominationalized. It's become sedimentary. Hallelujah. Everything settles to the bottom. Hallelujah. That means anything and everything else takes a priority over it. Our position of income, our position of relationship with individuals, our position of success and comfortability in the circumstances of our natural environment. Hallelujah. It says the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Any of you don't have a bed? You sleeping on the floor? Hallelujah. You know, in India, they slept on the cement because it was cooler. Hallelujah. At night. That didn't make them perfect, though. It's intent. It's motive. It's purpose. What is your purpose? When I got born again and into the evangelical church, and then I got promoted or demoted into the Pentecostal church, then Pharaoh, what is your ministry? What is your ministry? What is your ministry? I need the ministry. You're going to be a prophet? You're going to be an evangelist, a teacher? What is your ministry? Are you going to be a deacon in the church? What are you going to do for God? Build another church? Hallelujah. The best thing I can do with God is become the temple for His habitation. Hallelujah. 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 It says, judgment will I also lay to the line. That's verse 17. Judgment, that means everything you are going to build according to the line is going to be tried and tested. Judgment will I also build to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and he shall sweep away the refuse of lies. Oh my God, sweep away the refuse of religious bigotry and lies. The deception of humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the water shall overflow the hiding place. And the covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, ye shall not be trodden down by it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to go to Malachi. We've said this many times. I'm sure we've heard it many times. But in the context of what we are talking, I think it's very apropos. Malachi 3:1. And I'm closing down here shortly, so hallelujah. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. What is the messenger? And what is the message? Hallelujah. Go to John. What is it? Call in the wilderness. And what was it? I am not the Christ, but I am he who has been called to what? To prepare the way. What was the way? What was the preparation of the way? A way. A position of repentance and transgression against the ordinance and the principles of God. A position of turning away from the diversion of your lifestyle unto a position of relationship that is a heavenly lifestyle. The directions come. Thy will be done in earth. It is in heaven. Hello? Our Father! Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And the Lord whom ye shall seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. What is your covenant? Therefore I will make a new covenant with them, not as the covenant that I made with their father. Hello? And in the wilderness, and which covenant what? They break, even though I was a husband unto them. We are supposed to be married to the Father. We are supposed to be married to Jesus Christ. Loose! And we are supposed to bring forth the manifestation of the man-child. That is the position, that is the place of perspective, and that is what God desires from you. Not to live, not to be born, live, and die as a human being. Hallelujah. Is that all I want? You know, it's very hard to remember somebody, even if you know them very well, if there is nothing to remember them for. You know, it's very hard for me to visualize my mother or my father. You know that? The longer it's been since they passed, I remember who they are. I remember experiences. But it's very difficult for me to remember their faces. How come? Because what I had, what they were, was temporal. Now, it isn't that I am not aware of their presence, because both mom and dad are working in the kingdom of God. Do you understand? I've had visitations from both of them. Hallelujah. And they have told me different things that have been very important and instrumental in my life. But every time I see them, they look different. They don't look like the people I knew. But I knew intuitively this was my mother. There was a time when I had this dream, and somehow or another I had been wounded or something, and I was walking down this hallway, and I was kind of in a forlorn, depressed, oppressed state. And all of a sudden I heard this heavenly sound, this heavenly music. And it kind of lifted my spirits. It kind of lifted my heart. Hallelujah. As I was walking down this aisle, and as I came, it was like in a hotel room, and I was walking down the hall, and doors here, and I come down to the end of the passageway, and it makes a sharp L turn. And there on the wall was nothing but a wall. There was no door, but all of a sudden the wall vanishes. And I'm looking into this celestial scene. And I'm seeing flowers, and I'm seeing butterflies and birds, and I hear this celestial singing, and it's just my yearning. My heart just reaches out. I want to go in. And I start to take a step through this wall, into this place. Oh, by the way, the singing was a song that with the voices of children. And not only was it the voices of children, but they were harmonizing with the song, with the flowers and the grass and the trees. It was all like a what do they call it, a choir, an orchestra. It was so melodious and so absolutely divine. My heart said, I want to enter into this place. And as I started to step through that wall, Mom stepped right up in front of me. But she didn't look like Mom. She looked like somebody else I know. But I knew it was Mom. Hallelujah. And she looked at me. And I cannot explain to you the love and concern she had for me that was emanating out of her eyes. And she said to me, she called me a name that she usually calls me, which I'm not going to say. And she said to me, called my name, and says, it's not your time. Hallelujah. It's not yet your time. Hallelujah. For there is much yet to be done. Now this was years ago, so I don't know if the much yet to be done has been done, but I'm still doing it. Hallelujah. What are you called for? What is your election? What is your purpose? Make money? Have a new car? Send your kids to university, college? What is your purpose? What is your plan? Hallelujah. Have you asked the Father? And are you knocking, calling? Are you persisting? And most of all, are you listening? Are you really listening? Or is your circumstances interfering and intervening with what it is He is saying? You have to hear. You have to hear, but you also have to obey. Brethren, it's your choice. It's your choice. It's my choice. Hallelujah. You young people, it's your choice. It's your choice. God is speaking to you as much as He's speaking to the adults. It's your choice. Your choice. Nobody else is going to be able to be responsible for it. You are going to be responsible. You are going to be responsible. You can't blame it on this one, that one, circumstances, lack of this, lack of that. If we don't hear and obey, it'll be your position of condemnation. Praise God. It says, He shall suddenly come to His temple, and He shall purge. Who's He going to purge? The sons of Levi. Somebody once told me there was no more Levitical priesthood. Oh my God. They were talking to the wrong person. You know, the Spirit came to me one day. I was really lamenting my situation and my circumstances of inheritance. And I was lamenting God. I was telling Him, why did He do this to me? Blah, 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 blah. And God said to me, just simply said, ye are not of this world. Ye are of the Levitical priesthood. We are of the Levitical priesthood in that respect. You know what that Levitical priesthood is? Someone who has no inheritance in this world. Yeah. has no attachments to this world. It's a lifestyle. God bless you.